You're now tuned in to Sheriff Says
Sup.
Just sit back, relax, and enjoy the show.
So here's a podcast idea for you. First off, what's up? Second off, okay, so we're going to talk about what happened in the music industry. Because back in like 2005 and before that, the music industry was a whole different universe. It was a whole different world. Back then, you could have a crappy song and get on the radio. There was like local hours where you could have you could be on the local radio show, you could submit your band, you know, and they would play it. But this band that I was managing, Sick Inside, S-I-C, and then the word inside, all together, one word, they were really great because, you know, they had a screamer and then a singer that was female. So it was a male screamer and a female singer. And we had like a really good bassist. We had the best drummer in town. We had the best guitarists ever. And what really sucked is that, you know, even though we were making headway, we were selling out shows, and like together as a unit, we even won Battle of the Bands. Like once everything went downhill because we couldn't get on the radio, just because we couldn't get on the radio, everything like went to crap. Because we were getting attacked from all different angles. It wasn't just the radio that did that, but that was a major reason. But, you know, we had no support. We were all self-sustainable. And the powers that be didn't like that at all. Not at all. It was so bad, you know? Like, you could be on the radio with a song talking about make them say, Okay, like that's amazing, right? That's the best song in the world, right? Like, get out of here with that crap. And, you know, I'm not knocking Master P, you know, because he's doing his thing, whatever, but come on, dude. That's the best you got, you know, and you're getting played on the radio, right? So, for us to be denied so heavily and so hard after our track record was... it was complete madness. Nobody could figure it out. We couldn't figure out why we weren't getting traction. And you still look to this day, and nobody in the band has gotten anywhere with any kind of music or any kind of creative project at all. For example, the drummer went on to, he went on to college, right? And when the drummer went to college, he went to go learn how to do film. He wanted to go to film school. Well, he goes and he learns film school, and sure, he's got film projects that he's made or is making, but I'm telling you right now, you ain't never heard of him, and you probably won't, because the powers that be rule everything. If they don't want you getting famous, you're not getting famous. You're getting blackballed, and that's just the way that goes. See, and that sucked, because people kept other people who are the real talents of the industry out of the industry. They would troll them, tell them they're no good. Well, if that's so true, then why are we selling out shows on our own as kids? And why are we winning Battle of the Bands? You know, we didn't even have to try to do all that. It happened. What we had going on was that good. Now, the drummer of the band and maybe one of the other guys will be like, oh, you weren't the manager. No, okay, you're right. I officially wasn't titled as the manager, but whenever it came to it, I was the managerial position. I did all the managerial duties. Everybody came to me with all their problems in the band on top of all that crap. I was the one getting them paid. They didn't get paid. They didn't know how to get paid. They could not work the venue like I could. They didn't know how to get... It got to one point to where I was running the whole entire night at the Roadrunner Saloon. I ran the entire night. I managed every band that was there for the night. I managed their time slots, made sure they got on and off the stage in time to keep the show rolling. And at the end of the day, guess who got paid all of the money to give to each and every band? Me. I had people who handed me the money come and ask me for money for another band. Just give them like 20 or 40 bucks. And I'm like, who are they? Oh, that one, the band that's touring? Well, yeah, they're getting some gas money at least. They're getting money for this show, of course. Oh, but yeah, you know, it was nuts. And so, you know, I mean, there were some situations where it got really ugly between the band members because, you know, greed kicked in. Because we were all starving to get this somewhere, to make this something, you know, to make this happen. And, you know, what happened with the band, the drummer basically owned the name. He owned the rights and all that, right? So everything went through this guy, right? So he's the owner of the band, but I'm the one making sure everything happens. Making sure that they have rides to the show, making sure that they have demos all done, and that these demos are getting out there. We even went to California to Ozfest, and I took all of, well, most of them rode in the car with me. I think about four or five of them rode in the car with me to go to Ozfest. Now, some of the band members couldn't, so they didn't. But I, you know, it was Big Daddy Chance. And I was managing them, you know? Dude, go give your demos. Make sure you bring your demos. We're going to California. Da 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 da. Dude, it was, this trip was so awesome. We were driving down the freeway. I had one of them lean out the car to hand the demo. Like, I had to drive safe and close enough to the other car to where they could actually hand the demo to the car next to us. Like, hey, you want a demo? Yeah, we do. I'm like, dude, give it to him. Come on. And I was like, they were like, all right, man, just drive careful. I'm like, all right, cool. And we handed the demo, handed it off on the middle of the freeway going through Cali. That actually happened. Yes. We were that desperate to get the name out there because it just nothing was happening for us. Yes, okay, we were building momentum and stuff like that. But then guess what happened? Switch from 107.5 in Las Vegas came through and destroyed the whole thing because I didn't like her. All because we had a disagreement. She came through and divided the whole, like, she destroyed the band. I'll put it that way. They never became anything afterwards. And I'll tell you what. You know, I'm kind of thankful for it because, you know, I had a lot of things to do in my personal life that didn't involve music and bands and things like that. But I could have also did without a large part of that because I was trying to pursue my career, you know? So it's like a double-edged sword. It's like, yes, I'm very thankful for what I got to experience because that came to a stop. But also, I was gaining a lot of momentum and the outside forces made sure that they tried to tear me down. I had one person throw me in jail over a false claim. I had another person. What happened? Like I said, she tried to come and tear the band apart. You know? What had happened that tore the band apart was basically, okay, one person wanted to invest in the band, but had no money. And we were so inexperienced, we didn't know what we were doing. All we know is that we had a guy who wanted to invest in the band and he was going to help do shirts and things like that and expected nothing in return and was willing to sign paperwork to say that. That he would keep every now and then he would chip in to help the band. So that way we could have merch and things like that. So me and the singer were cool with that. The guy came over to my house. We had a meeting at my house and everything was legit. So we bring it back to the drummer. The drummer hates the idea. No way. Nobody's investing in the band and not expecting anything in return. That's crazy. We're like, dude, he's going to sign paperwork stating that. You know, like everything was protected for us. And the drummer just wasn't having that. He you know, somebody had gotten in his ear and made him think that he was king of the band, right? Just because he owned the name. And then later on, we find out that the little birdie in his ear was Switch, because next thing you know, the band broke up in two. One half became The Disease Takes Over, the other half became Sick Inside, with just one female vocalist, right? and they sucked. I'm not knocking them, but they sucked. It wasn't the same. It never was the same, and it was never going to be the same. And Switch effectively took them nowhere. She did all that for absolutely nothing. Thanks, Switch. Wow, you're such a wonderful person. Not. So then, on top of all that, you know, there was a fist fight because now they're arguing over who does what, the singer and the drummer. And it got so immature and stupid, and, you know, somebody actually got hurt, and it wasn't neither one of them. It was the girl that I was dating at the time, who happened to work at the venue that we had sold out, which was Gameworks on the Strip. If you remember Sick Inside at Gameworks on the Strip, whenever the fire department had to come, the fire marshal had to come and start kicking people out of the show and keeping them out of the show. I could not even get into the little venue part because there were too many people. I'm like, dude, my band is about to go up that I'm managing, and I'm the manager. I need in there. So they're like, hold on, we need to let some people out. So they like let like 7-8 people out, and then they let me in. And I'm like, dude, come on, man. So I get in there, I'm screaming, I'm singing along, we're having a good time. It was a really good show. Everybody had a great time at this Gamework show. We sold it out, and we were the ones who sold the most tickets. How do I know? Because we made everybody that was there say, hey, we're here for this band. And we got more tally marks than everybody else, and we got paid more than everybody else. That time I didn't handle the money for the show. I should have, but I didn't. Because if I would have, things would have happened correctly. But they didn't. And then whenever we were at the Roadhouse, see, whenever I gave the band the money disappeared. That's why I say what I just said. I should have been in charge of the money. The money would have never disappeared. It wouldn't have just went up in the air. I would never have spent their money like that because it was the band's money and it was supposed to go to creative purposes. But I saw the way they were getting greedy and demanding more money and this and that. And the singer actually got mad that I gave the 20 or, no, I think it was like 40 or 50 bucks. No, I think it was like 40 bucks. I gave 40 bucks to the touring band. He got mad because they were a-holes to him. I'm like, dude, I don't think you understand. There are a touring band and they need gas money to get from one place to Utah. Like, are you kidding me right now? You're really gonna be all mad over 40 bucks? You know? I didn't even dare tell him how much of the money I kept. I gave them like $198. That's $2 shy of 200 bucks. I think I kept like 380 bucks. Because why not? I managed the whole entire night. Why shouldn't I take the lion's share? They've never ever paid me for any of my work. They never did anything for me. So yeah, I took that money and I never told them about it. Never ever told them about it. And you know what? Everybody told me that I should never even tell them about it. They were like, dude, don't tell him about it because he's just gonna get pissed and he's gonna argue with you and it'll be the never-ending story. And I was like, you know what? I'm not gonna tell him. You know why? Because I worked for this money. And that's what's up. Ha!